on sacred ground just now. The Word of God fills this air. Those stained glass medallions remind us of the story of our faith. Music lifts our souls. The table is set. So now let your minds drift back to the words of the prophets. The people of Israel had great expectations concerning God's intervention. They remembered they were a special people, a special nation, created by liberating acts, a God who comforted them in moments of crisis, pardoned them in times of unfaithfulness and sin, whose presence filled their lives. Their only response was to give the Lord God glory. What's that mean? It means to give God the gift of a righteous life. It was the memories of God's past actions that gave them the hope. God would intervene. God would save them. God would deliver them. God would provide meaning for their lives. But such was the time, as we have heard, in the appearance of John the Baptist. Luke said it there in that historical setting. Americans hate history. History is last month. For many years, there had been no prophetic voices in Israel. The people lived under a military occupation. So life was without joy. It was just day after day. Evil had held sway in every area of their lives. Hopelessness was rampant from temple to tents. Some prayed for deliverance for oppressors, and others wanted revenge. Now, revenge to the Hebrews didn't mean to get even. It meant to set things straight. Still others expected God to fulfill the prophecies of the Messianic age. Shalom, peace. So into their midst here comes this John the Baptist, strange man. He was clothed in camel's hair. He was wearing a leather girdle. He ate locusts and wild honey. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, John's mission was to prepare the people for the reign of God. He was calling upon them to change their hearts radically. Repent, turn to God, get ready for this reign of God. You heard it. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads, that's Michigan, shall become straight. The rough ways, smooth. All people will see God's salvation. The day of the Lord is at hand. And they cried to him, what shall we do, John? What shall we do? How do we prepare? John was clear. To the multitudes, those of you that have extra food and clothing, share those with those that have none. Tax collectors, collect only what is due. Don't get rich at the expense of others. Soldiers, stop using your military positions to rob or falsely accuse people. Religious leaders, prove your sincerity. Through the ages, our Christian church has selected these passages of Scripture for the second Sunday of Advent, reminding us of our need to be prepared for this reign of God. For God was, God is, God shall be, always the center of our lives. Well, not everyone so believes. It's not so. The headlines in New York Daily News announce God isn't fixing this. The ISIS-inspired San Bernardino, California massacre was a cause celebrated. Politicians take the role of prayer in public life, prayer shaming, became the progressive liberal response to those folks publicly announcing their words of comfort. Our prayers and thoughts are with you, was said. It became a shameful response to some in this act of workplace violence or Islamic terrorism. And the media barrage, Huffington Post reporter, damned the public officials for their useless thoughts and prayers. U.S. senators opined as well. Chris Murphy said, thoughts should be about steps to stop carnage. Prayers should be forgiveness for not doing something. The politics aside, for we Christians, it is a time of witness. Terry Pettit read a text from his daughter who was in the midst. Shooting at work, people shot, pray for us. See, the media choice was clear. You make policy or you pray. And by the way, prayer doesn't work. Rob Dreher noted, to religious believers, prayers are not meaningless platitudes, but rather an appeal to the creator of this universe to help those who are suffering, to express empathy, solidarity with those who suffer. Russell Moore at the Washington Post wrote, prayer is the way religious people show they care about their neighbors. Perhaps the best response of all came from Andy Crouch, who is the editor of Christianity Today. The following is true, he opined. When news of a tragedy reaches us, we empathize, and we wonder, how would we react? You see, almost all human individuals react to tragedy by searching for a higher meaning, higher belief for God. But prayer is not asking God to fix anything. It is to hold those who have been harmed in the mercy of God. It is like the psalmist, it's a lament. My God, why have you forsaken me? Don't you think that's been said? People of faith, however, find holiness, goodness, and reconciliation in the midst of tragedy. For Jesus' words of lament became our cry. He is risen indeed. Who insists that people should act instead of pray or act without praying is simply idolatry. It's substituting the creature for the creator. Prideful declarations of human independence is the original sin of humanity, the source of evil. John the Baptist came preaching in real time. We go about preparing for Christmas as though it had nothing to do with this nation or world, as though the point of it is to create a fairy kingdom, like the Nutcracker suite, or twinkling lights, or extravagant gifts, a dose of Christmas spirit. Give homage to the tree without mentioning the Savior. The world in which we live is not so much different than John's world. See, they were giving lip service to God as well. 90% of those Hebrew people believed in God but lived as agnostics, as though God didn't exist, as though God was irrelevant, ineffectual. After all, you don't need God to have a successful career. You don't need God to win in the last 5 seconds. You don't need God for 15 minutes of fame. You don't need God to appear on reality television. But yes, John's message was clear. Be prepared. You scouts should know that. Let not these moments of worship be wasted on the malls of acquisitiveness and list checking. Paul and Calvin remind us, no, not one is righteous. We all stand in the need of the forgiveness of God. But the good news of Advent is that there was this one gift for humankind without price, simply for the asking. The price has been paid once for all. A crib, a cross, an empty tomb, where evil was defeated, is being defeated, will be defeated. Friends, there is a hand that guides our footsteps when we trust in God. This world may try to harm us, but God keeps our souls. Evil influences may try to block our way, but God will tear down obstacles or allow us to jump over them. The enemy may wound us, but God will heal our wounds. On this Black Friday, Jesus was put to death, but God acted. We now have been given hope, shalom, peace, wholeness of life. Jim Harness asked, where do we find the power to hang in there in this world of ours? To continue to believe in love when the world is so filled with hate. To continue to work for peace in a world addicted to violence. To believe in good in a world so filled with suffering and pain. To continue to believe that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done in this creation. Where do we find the power to be a disciple of Jesus Christ at the the Spirit of God indwelling and empowering us. Our response to the cacophony in this world is to glorify God with glorified lives. What trouble may hinder us, but God will open the way. Circumstances may stand against us, but God will lead us. Prepare the way, John said. Let the Spirit of the living God fill your hearts. Now, renew that right spirit within you. For Jesus calls you to the table. Come unto me, all you who labor and are overburdened. I will give you rest, peace, wholeness, shalom. Ask, knock, open, and the Son of Glory